Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Turn in your Bible tonight, if you would please, to the book of James. The book of James, chapter number 4. And in just a very few moments, I'm going to read just two verses of Scripture that I simply could not get away from while seeking God's divine will for the service tonight. James chapter 4. And in just a few moments, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13 of the chapter and read just two verses of Scripture that I trust God will use to do much more than challenge us tonight. I'm praying, I'm trusting, I'm believing that God will change us, that we may be more like Him. Now, on the way out tonight, I want to encourage you, if you would please, to come by our table and pick up Macedonia's latest copy of the Focus on the Field magazine. These magazines are absolutely free of charge. We not only have the latest, we have the next to the latest. And I tell folks everywhere I go, these are million-selling magazines. They're million sellers. We got a million in the cellar, and we need to get them out of there and into your hands so you can help us tonight with that. And that way, by picking up that Focus on the Field magazine, you can become at least somewhat more acquainted with what the Lord is doing with our now over 100 missionary families around the world. I'm so excited. Just this past week, we have two new missionary families, one family going to the Yucatan to plant churches, and then another young man that's come on to be a field director. We're very, very excited about. I'll say more about that before the week is up. If you found your place in the book of James, chapter number 4, would you say amen? Amen. It has been said, and I agree, the book of James looks a lot like the Old Testament book of Proverbs dressed in New Testament garments. I believe that statement has been made due to this particular book of the Bible's consistent focus on the practical aspects of the Christian life. I also believe while studying the book of James, it will become abundantly evident that James seems to have had a love of metaphors. In chapter number 1 and verse number 6, James spoke of the wave of the sea. In chapter number 1 and verse number 10, he spoke of the flower of the grass. In James chapter number 5, James would go on to speak of the precious fruit of the earth. However, here in the text to which God has led us to tonight, it's interesting that while God uses James to write of our lives on this earth, he writes of our lives as being nothing more than a vapor. It was while considering our lives as such that God prompted James to ask the very sobering question that we're going to be zeroing in on for the next very few moments. I like to call it God's sobering question. That is the question tonight that I felt impressed to the Lord to call your attention to here from the 4th chapter of the book of James. If you're able tonight, would you please stand as we read God's word together? James chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I want to call your attention once again, if I may, to verse number 14 of the chapter before us, as this single verse of Scripture will be used as the key text of the Bible message tonight. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. With the help of the Lord tonight, I'm going to preach on this thought, God's sobering question. Let's bow our heads, shall we, for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for yet another opportunity this side of eternity to stand in the pulpit of the Amazing Grace Baptist Church and preach your inspired, inerrant word. Father, without your touch, I am nothing. And therefore, I pray you would cleanse me of sin and self and fill me with your precious Holy Spirit tonight. Father, would you make a preacher out of me tonight? And I'll give you glory for saving the lost, for encouraging the discouraged tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much for standing. Please be seated. James chapter 4 and verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I'm preaching tonight on the thought, God's sobering question. Here is the question tonight: for what is your life? I think you'll discover while studying the book of James that this sobering question was actually asked in response to the truth revealed in the preceding verses of Scripture. Please allow me to call your attention, if I may, to how verses 13 and 14 of James chapter number 4 actually fit together to place even greater emphasis on the sobering question that we will consider tonight in verse number 14. Look at verse number 13, first of all, if you would please. In verse number 13, here we see the plans of men. Here the Bible says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I think you'll discover while studying James chapter number 4, those that James was writing to had been guilty of indifference towards each other. And therefore, James actually begins this chapter by writing in verse number 1. Look at it with me. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? So yes, here God is using James to address the indifference the brethren he was writing to were having towards each other. However, by the time we get to verses 13 and 14 of this particular chapter, now James has moved on from addressing the indifference the brethren were having toward each other. And now, here in our key text tonight, he begins to address the indifference the brethren were having towards God. And I say that this evening because that indifference manifested itself in the fact that their plans did not include God. Now, please allow me an opportunity to say that yet again tonight. Their plans did not include God. Look at verse number 13 again. James writes, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Again here, ladies and gentlemen, we see the plans of men. Now, please don't misunderstand. I think it's important that I take a few moments tonight to say there is absolutely nothing wrong with planning. I'm a planner myself. I like to plan. There's nothing wrong with planning, just as long as our planning does not exclude knowing, and not only knowing, but ultimately performing God's perfect will for our lives. Those that James is addressing here in the text had made the same mistake that so many people are making. Even as I stand to preach the Word of God tonight, they never stopped to consider God. They never took a moment to consider what God desired out of their lives. According to verse 13, they were only interested in their plans. They were only interested in their wants. Are you listening tonight? They were only interested not in God's desires, but they were interested in their own desires. They were not motivated by God's will for their lives. There was one thing, according to verse 13, that motivated them, and it was their own will. Let me call your attention, if I may, to the words "go to now" in verse number 13. These words "go to now" are three words that the Holy Ghost of God inspired that caused those that James was addressing to stop and consider what God was saying to them. In verse 13, we see the plans of men. And Dr. Barker, I've always found it interesting that in verse 13, as God begins to reveal the plans of men, he goes into great detail to teach us about these plans of people that had no time for knowing God's will. Consider verse 13 with me now. Notice the plan is constructed. The Bible says today or tomorrow. Today or tomorrow. Brother, they're in a hurry to get busy doing what they wanted to do. In their minds, those that were planning without knowing and without a desire to perform God's perfect will, they were not only going to do what they wanted to do, but brother, they're in a hurry to do it. The plan is constructed today or tomorrow. Notice verse 13. Not only is the plan constructed, the place is chosen. They said, "We will go into such a city." They never asked God about that. They weren't even remotely interested in going where God could use them to the greatest capacity for His glory. They were only interested in going where they wanted to go. And according to verse 13, the place is chosen. They're going into such and such a city. Not only is the place chosen, but according to verse 13, the period is calculated. They're not only going to go there, but according to the text, they got it all mapped out, brother. They got it all planned out. They're going to continue there a year. They're going to continue there a year. It's going to take a year to bring their will, their plan, to fruition. Again, they never asked God how long they were going to stay. They had it all mapped out. The period is calculated. Not only is the period calculated in verse 13, the purpose is considered. Not only are they making it known that they're going into such and such a city, and not only are they going to continue there a year, but according to verse 13, the purpose is considered. They're going to buy and they're going to sell. They're going into the retail business. They're going to be wheelers and dealers. Now, again, please don't misunderstand. God needs some good godly wheelers and dealers. Praise God. I'd like to run into a few more good godly wheelers and dealers myself. But they never asked God, Lord, do you want me to be a wheeler and a dealer? God, do you want me in the retail business? God, do you want me buying and selling it? Oh, no. They've mapped everything out. They've got it in their mind. The purpose is considered. Not only are we going to go when we want to go, and not only are we going to go where we want to go, we're going to do what we want to do. The plan is considered. Then in verse 13, the profit is computed. In verse 13, they speak of getting gain. That's their focus. Getting gain. The focus of those that James is addressing was only, are you listening? It was only on the temporary gain of this world without ever giving a moment's thought to the eternal world to come. It was their plan, according to verse 13. And friend, they were sticking to it. It wasn't God's plan, but it was their plan. That's why I say in verse 13, we see the plans of men. You see, if we're ever going to gain what I believe God would have us to gain by considering verse 14, why, we can't dare skip over the plans of men in verse number 13, because it is only as we consider the plans of men in verse 13 that the proclamation of the Master in verse 14 becomes even more real and even more relevant. In light of the plans of those that had no time for God, no interest in knowing, much less performing God's divine will for their lives, the Master had a proclamation. And you see that proclamation revealed in verse 14. Look at it with me. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My, what a sobering, what a solemn, what a serious thought. Here a minute tonight, we do not know what tomorrow may bring. I am astounded at times at how quickly our lives can take a turn, Pastor Barker, either for the better or sometimes for the worst. It really is, as God says in His Word, we do not know what tomorrow may bring. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1 declares, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Hear me, child of God. Hear me, sinner friend. Really, according to the Bible, tomorrow is nothing to brag about. And therefore, since that is most definitely the case, God asks the very sobering, the very solemn question here in verse 14, in light of the plans of men in the preceding verse. Now we begin to see the proclamation of the Master. God asks this sobering question through the pages of His Word tonight. For what is your life? And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that in the same verse of Scripture, God begins to answer His own sobering question? God says in the text, I'll tell you what your life is. Your life, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. God's sobering question. What a solemn question. What a sobering question. For what is your life? Now, before we dismiss tonight, there's three things directly from the text that I felt impressed to share with you about God's sobering question. First of all, according to verse 14, God's sobering question is a personal question. God, are you listening? God Himself asks each and every one of us through the pages of His inspired word tonight for what is your life. It's very personal. For what is your life? For what is your life? For what is your life, Bill? For what is your life, Mary? For what is your life, Tom? For what is your life, Dean? For what is your life? It is a very personal question. For what is your life and your life and your life? Hear me. You don't have to spend much time reading and studying your Bible before it becomes abundantly evident God longs to speak to each of us very personally. We speak to Him through and by the avenue of prayer, but He speaks to us through the pages of the Word of God. And God's sobering question, oh, it is a tremendously personal question. God wants to know what's going on in your life. For what is your life? Can I ask you a question tonight? Have you taken any time to think about your life today? Oh, I realize, especially through the avenue of social media today, many times we seem to be much more concerned about what's going on in every other person's life other than taking inventory of our own. Yet God, here in the text, admonishes us for a few moments tonight to take our eyes off of everybody else's life and consider our own. Are you listening to God's sobering question tonight? God asks you, friend, for what is your life? It is a very personal question. God's sobering question is not only a personal question. Secondly, God's sobering question is a pictured question. Now remember, James loved to use metaphors. When you study the book of James, you'll discover that all throughout the book, all throughout the verses, all throughout the chapters that make it up, God is leading James to take the pen of inspiration and paint pictures for us. Pictures all throughout the book of James that God wants us to consider in order that we might learn the truths of His Word. That's why I say, according to verse 14, oh yes, God's sobering question. It is a very personal question for what is your life, but it is also a very pictured question. Now God begins to answer His own sobering question by saying in verse 14, I'll tell you what it is. And as He leads James to pick up the pen, the paintbrush of inspiration, James begins to paint the picture. What is he painting? What is he drawing? He is painting a vapor as best he could. God now begins to answer. I'll tell you what your life is. It is even a vapor. James did not say that our lives were like smoke, because smoke lingers and often leaves behind a very distinct smell or odor. James does not say in the text that our lives on this earth were like fog, because sometimes fog lingers for hours, if not for days. No, God says in the text, I'll answer my own sobering question by saying it like this. You want to know what your life is like? Your life, it is even a vapor. A fine mist that lingers for a mere short, a fleeting second or two, and then vanishes away. Your life, my life, is nothing more than the steam off of a cup of coffee. Maybe when you go outside tonight, I challenge you to do this. When you go outside tonight, take a big deep breath. And when you exhale and when you let that breath out, you'll see a vapor. My prayer tonight is that you and I alike will never see a vapor the same way again. For you see, tonight, that vapor is just like your life. That vapor is just like my life. It is fleeting. It is here one moment. It is gone the next. And by the way, that truth is not only declared here in James chapter number 4. That is a truth that the Holy Ghost has inspired from the very first in the beginning of the book of beginnings to the final amen of the book of God's revelation. Life is fleeting. It's nothing more than a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanisheth away. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 15. For we are all strangers before thee and sojourners as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. Job chapter 8 and verse 9, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing because our days upon earth are a shadow. Job said in Job chapter 7 and verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. I remember when I was a little fella going with my mom and dad to the Blue Ridge Parkway. There was a place during those days, I think it may still be there, just off of the Blue Ridge Parkway called the Brenniger Cabin. And my dad loved to visit things like that, and he took us inside that cabin one day as we were riding down the parkway. And I shall never forget, there was a woman inside the Brenniger cabin that was weaving on a loom. She was weaving some sort of tapestry, and she was weaving it on a loom. And I was mesmerized. That picture that I saw that day of the woman weaving on a loom, it has stayed with me now for over 50 years. And I shall never forget watching that lady taking the weaver's shuttle with the material attached to one end of it. And she would put it in one side of that loom and she would sling it to the other side, and she'd catch it with her other hand. She'd put it back in this hand and do it all over again. God says in the Word of God, you want to know what your life on this earth is? It's just like a weaver's shuttle. The Bible says in Job chapter 14, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. The psalmist declared in the 39th Psalm, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. Because thou hast made my days as a handbreadth and mine age as nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. And then you see that little five-letter word that you often see in the Psalms. I'm talking about the word Selah. The word Selah in the Psalms, it literally denoted a rest in the music. That word Selah means to stop and consider what has just been said. Therefore, we could say it like this and be scripturally correct in saying it when it comes to knowing our end, when it comes to knowing the measure of our days. We ought to know and be aware of the fact and stop and meditate on it, that our days on this earth are as a handbreadth and our age is as nothing. The 103rd Psalm says, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. 2 Samuel chapter 14, for we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground. And then it goes on to say this about water that is spilt on the ground. Water, according to 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14, which cannot be gathered up again. You want to know what your life is? Watch this. That's it. You know why your pastor, even though you guys have this beautiful brand new auditorium, you want to know why Pastor Barker doesn't get upset when I put that water on the floor like that? I'll tell you why he doesn't get upset. Because in 5 minutes from now, it's gone. Are you listening? For what is your life? It is not only a personal question, it is a picture question. God answers his own sobering question. I'll tell you what it's like. God says, it's like a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Not a lot of time, but a little time, and then vanisheth away. It's no wonder the psalmist said in the 39th Psalm, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. For what is your life? The Bible asks. I'll tell you what it is. It's a shadow. It's a swift ship. It is a swooping eagle. It is a flower that appears in the field for a little while, but then it's cut down. It's water spilt on the ground that can never be gathered again. James said it was like a vapor, mist, steam off of the coffee cup. It's just like your exhaled breath in the wintertime. It is here today, and tomorrow it's gone. It was in the year of 1989. I was really wrestling with the will of God for my life. God was dealing with me about preaching His Word. And if I was going to see Cassie on the weekend, the deal was with her mom and dad, I had to go to church with her. She went to an independent, fundamental, boy was it ever fundamental, fire-breathing, temperamental Baptist church. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. Now, I know some of you don't even think I'm saved now. But I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. We had one old fella. His name was Vernon Woodruff. He was the only man in the church that said amen. But he had to say amen between nap times. He'd sleep a while. His wife, Bertha, would nudge him. And then he'd say, hey, man. And we all thought he is a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. I ain't never been to church like I went to church by going to church with Cassie. And boy, I'd gotten right with God a few weeks before that. I can't remember what Dr. Hensley was preaching that day, Preacher Barker. I can't remember the text that he was preaching from. That was a long time ago, and there was one sentence he kept saying all throughout that Bible message, and I've never forgotten it. Here's what he would say. And he would say it over and over and over again throughout the course of that message. Whatever it is you're going to do for God, you best get busy doing it. That was in 1989. Some of you wasn't even alive in 1989. But here we are in 2024. And I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Whatever it is you're going to do for God, you best get busy doing it. God used the Apostle Paul to pen the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter number 1, Paul said this, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready. I am ready, Paul said, to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Did you hear what Paul said? Having realized the brevity of his life on this earth, no doubt, Paul said, I am ready. I am ready. Having realized his life was nothing more than a shadow, a flower, a handbreadth, water spilt on the ground. Having realized his life was nothing more than a vapor, Paul said, and I'm ready. I'm ready to preach the gospel. I'm wondering about you tonight. Because you see, God's sobering question is a very personal question for what is your life. God's sobering question is a pictured question. God himself said it was like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. But finally, God said that his sobering question, oh, it is a very proven question. Can I show it to you in closing? Look at verse 14 again. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Here's the answer. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. Watch your Bible now. And then vanisheth away. Here's why I say tonight that God's question is a proven question. What God says will happen in this verse of Scripture, you can mark it down. It will happen. And by the way, it has happened time and time and time again. The same vapor that appears is the same vapor that will eventually vanish away. The word vanisheth in the text literally means to cease to exist. It means to come to an end. Would you please allow me to tell you why our plan should never cease to include God's perfect will for our lives? Because one day our lives on this earth will cease to exist. One day our lives will come to an end. And when they come to an end, the only thing that will matter then is what we have done in the perfect will of God for His honor and for His glory. Hear me tonight. There is a phrase that you and I will read time and time and time again in the pages of this inspired, inerrant word. I'm talking about the phrase, and he died. In Genesis chapter number 5 alone, we see that phrase as it relates to our forefather Adam, and he died. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 8, we read that phrase as it relates to Seth, and he died. In Genesis chapter number 5 and verse 11, the Bible says of Enos, and he died. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says of Canaan, and he died. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says of Mahalalel, and he died. The Bible says of Jared. The Bible says of Methuselah. The Bible says of Lamech. And he died. And one day that phrase will be said of you. And he died. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So I'm wondering tonight, since God's sobering question is not only personal and not only pictured, but since God's sobering question is proven, I'm wondering if you've made preparation in light of it. You say, well, preacher, how can I do that? Well, first of all, if you're lost tonight, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I wouldn't walk out of this building this evening before I got a hold of somebody that could show me from this Bible how I could know beyond a shadow of a doubt if I were to die tonight, heaven would be my home. You can make preparation for the day that you die by being saved. But I'm wondering about those of us tonight who are saved. We can make preparation by surrendering our lives to do whatever that God would have us to do. And again, let me go back to some of the truths I made in verse 13. There's nothing wrong with being a wheeler and a dealer, as long as God wants you to be one. God needs some good godly doctors and lawyers, and God needs some good godly trash men. God does. He really does. You'll never hear me. And I am the director of a missions board. I'm looking for missionaries that I can help get to the field. I'm looking for them everywhere. I'm looking for them here tonight. But Pastor Barker, I'm glad God doesn't call everybody to Saudi Arabia to plant a church. If that was the case, who would tithe? Who would win souls right here out of the ministry of Amazing Grace Baptist Church? Regardless of what you've heard, God doesn't call everybody to a foreign mission field. God needs some good, godly businessmen. God needs some good godly ladies that would be willing to clean houses and everywhere they go, leave a gospel track. Here's the question tonight. Have you surrendered to do what God would have you to do? I close with this true story. True story. It wasn't that long ago, just a few years ago. A fella that was entrusted with a local Christian school to take their senior class, the graduating senior class, on a field trip. They had planned something around the Atlanta area. I can't remember what it was, but the fella who'd been entrusted by the Christian school to take those seniors on that trip called me on the phone. And he said, hey, Brother Caudle, he said, we've got about 10 graduating seniors from our Christian school this year. And I was just wondering, we're going to be going right by the mission. Would you meet us there if you're in town? And would you spend some time with these graduating seniors? I said, absolutely. We do that quite a bit. We are all the time having folks to come and visit the office. In fact, if you'll come and visit us in the office, I'll make a deal with you. I'm going to be a wheeler and dealer right here. If you'll come while I'm there, I will take you to lunch. Let you buy. But we'll have a good time of fellowship. And so this fella called me on the phone. He said, I'm bringing the graduating class of such and such a Christian school, and I want you to spend some time with them. I want you to challenge them from the Bible. I want you to tell them what Macedonia World Baptist Missions does for the Macedonia missionaries around the world. I said, that's great. I met him in the foyer of the building, and we took them through all the buildings and showed them what we did. I took them down to the end of the hall and I showed them the I introduced them to the two ladies that handles literally millions of God's dollars every year for the sake of world evangelism. And before they left, I said, come with me. I want you to come in here. And we went into the executive boardroom. Both your pastor and Dr. Barker have been there many, many times. And there's about 15 chairs. Our board is made up of local missions-minded independent Baptist pastors. And all of those seats were there. And I had all of those seniors sit around that table, and I started with this one right here, and I said, I want you just in a very few minutes apiece, I want you to tell me what you're thinking about the rest of your life. Heard a lot of good things. I heard some ladies talking about the fact that they wanted to be nurses, which, oh, that's a wonderful thing. My niece is a nurse. Hey, it's good to have a nurse around if you're going to preach yourself into a heart attack. I'm telling you, that's a great, great blessing. Praise the Lord for good, godly nurses. And some of those young ladies said, well, I'm going to nursing school. I think another young lady said, I'm going to be an accountant. One young man said, well, I'm going to go to school and I want to eventually pass the bar. I want to be a lawyer. And they had all of these plans. Did you know that day, not one. Are you listening to me? Not one of those graduating seniors said, I do whatever God says do. You know why? It's not popular. It sounds good to say, I'm going to law school. Wow. Awesome. Law school. Man, that's awesome. You're going to be a doctor? Great. Can I tell you something? And God knows I'm telling you the truth tonight. I'd rather be a second string garbage man in the will of God than to be the highest paid lawyer in Atlanta, Georgia tonight. And I mean that. Preacher, you've been there and done that. Do you remember how you got that feeling after pastoring all those years and God led you into missions? Man, for 22 years, I was the man. I was the pastor. Now, I'll tell you what, you talk about an humbling experience. You just try to call and raise your personal support after 20 years of being the man, and all of a sudden God puts you in a place you ain't nothing. But you see, the difference was I was in the center of God's will. And I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Are you listening? Say amen. There is no higher promotion than being in the center of the divine will of God. And so you know what I've been doing for the last 10 years? It doesn't make no difference what nobody says about me. It doesn't make no difference how low I may have gone in the eyes of some pastors. I'm just loving life in the center of the divine will of God. Because there is no greater place than the center of God's divine will. So I'm just wondering tonight if you've made preparation. Since you're going to die, and you are. You're going to die one day. We celebrated 50 years of the Barkers in the ministry. I'm sure he could take the next 30 minutes and tell you, didn't it just seem like it was like that? Now, I know I look at some of these young people in here tonight. This young man sitting here has listened so good to me tonight. Thank you for listening so good to me tonight. I remember sitting where you're sitting and thinking, having heard a preacher like I preached tonight, man, I'm 12 years old. I got a lot of years left, and here I am. You know what I like to do every now and then? I get on the Social Security website and see how much I could draw real soon. And it just seemed like yesterday I was the same age as that young man. I'm wondering, all you young folks in here tonight, you got up and sung so wonderfully last night. I'm wondering, when I saw all those youth get up in that choir and sing so wonderfully last night, I knew what I was going to preach tonight. So God sent me here to tell you. Just like that. For what is your life? God says, I'll answer that question. I'll tell you what it's like. James, take the paintbrush of inspiration and paint it on canvas. All right, here's your life. It's a vapor. Step out that door tonight and go, oh, that's your life. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You've listened so